Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank thee, Father, for thy love and thy great mercy, and we thank you for Jesus Christ and him crucified. We thank you for this church and this congregation of your people. We thank you for the ability to preach the gospel to the whole wide world. We're thankful for, Father, for our radio ministry, for our internet ministry. We're thankful for our ability to feed the poor and the down and out here at this church. Have mercy on us, we pray thee in Christ's name. Amen. I'm happy to announce that again we had over 160,000 hits on our website this past month. I want to thank you all for your prayers for my cancer and let y'all know what our schedule is around here. I'm going to be preaching either three or four Sundays each month. If a month has four Sundays in it, I'll be preaching three. If it has four Sundays, five Sundays, I will be preaching four Sundays, and Manuel will be preaching one. And so we want Manuel to get himself some experience in preaching the gospel. And we want to thank our worldwide radio audience for being so supportive of us. And again, I want to thank you for your prayers for my cancer, and I'm very happy to announce to you that it's shrunk by two-thirds, and keep praying for me because only God could do that. And we want to be thankful again for our radio ministry that goes out from here to the entire earth and for our ability to feed the poor. And now, Brother Manuel Santiago.
Yeah, I turned it on. There you go. Now everyone can hear me. That's good. I'm glad to hear. Now is everybody listening? Today we'll be talking about the wise and the foolish. That's the title of this sermon. And we're going to talk about the wise and the foolish. This is from Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. Please be opening up your Bibles. And it's not just the wise and foolish virgins, but we'll, if I have time, we'll also talk about the talents. And this all, the kingdom of God and eternal glory, it all pertains to wise and foolish. How will you know in the end if you were wise? Well, if you make it to heaven, if you receive the glory, if you've been obedient, then you should obtain a eternal life. If not, whew, I feel sorry for you. And if I did not remain in Christ once I got in Christ, then I feel sorry for me. Two of the most important things you'll ever do in your life. One, before you become a Christian, the most important thing that you'll ever do in your life is become a Christian. And then after that, you've become a Christian. The most important thing you'll ever do in your life is to remain in Christianity, to remain a Christian. That means growing in Christ. That means being perfected by the Word of God. So those are the two most important things that you will do in your life. Let's do that. The parable of the 10 virgins, Matthew 25, depicts the 10 girls awaiting the coming of an absent bridegroom. Matthew 25, 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, I'll try to pronounce that correctly all the time, virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Verse 1. There is joy in the judgment for those who spend each day in preparation for the midnight hour. When is Christ coming? Is he coming at midnight? No. Then the answer to that question, when Christ is coming, is we don't know. Amen. So we got to watch and pray. Ready for duty and prepared for joy. Revelations 22:20. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. We must be ready. 10 virgins, the custom of the 10 friends of the bride. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. I'm going to slow down a little bit. 2 Corinthians 11, 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. This is the kind of willing, joyful anticipation Jesus wanted for his disciples, us, the church, every day and every minute. Are you ready for Christ if he comes today? Are you ready? Hebrews 9:28. So Christ once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. This is the parousia. This is the second coming of Christ that we ought to, need to, must be ready for. Matthew 25, verse 2. Verse 1 again. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Verse 2. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Why do they use the numbers 5 and 5? Why did they use the word 10? Well, I'm not sure, because it doesn't say. But I've heard that in numerology, the word 10 is for completion. It's a complete number. Or it can also be an infinite number. But this is just hearsay from people that think they know. And then 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. Is that an even number? Is there going to be 50% of the people that are going to make it and 50 not? No, not exactly. But I've heard hearsay that 5 is the number of grace. Doesn't say that in the Bible, but that's just hearsay, something I've heard of. And if that is so, 5 is the number of grace, then those who don't make it, God has given their grace to them. And those that do make it, God has given their grace to us also. Israel longed for the Messiah to come. When he did, they were not ready. Now, how about the church? Israel, the Jews, longed for Messiah to come, but when he came, they were not ready. But now, how about us? Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Will we as the bride of Christ be ready when Christ come? Verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. If you're a saint, you should be clothed in righteousness already, in the righteousness of God. And where is God's righteousness found? Where is the righteousness of Christ? Where is it located? Where can you find it? I tell you, it is in this book. It is in the Word of God. If you want to live a righteous life, you live a righteous and holy life according to the doctrine of Christ that is written in the book, i.e., the New Testament. Matthew 25 and 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Their job was to light the way for the procession from the bride's house to the bridegroom's house when he came to claim his bride. We should light the way. We that have the gospel, that proclaim Christ, we should let our light so shine that men may see our good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Matthew 25, verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The oil, Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness, the Holy Spirit. What is this oil? Is it not the Holy Spirit? We know that if we as Christians know, that if we don't have the Holy Spirit, that if anybody does not have the Holy Spirit when Christ comes, they will not make it into heaven. We need the seal. We need the gift of the Holy Spirit in order to be saved. If you don't have that Spirit, you will not be saved. You cannot be resurrected into life. And how do we get this Holy Spirit? By obedience to the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. If you don't obey the gospel, you cannot receive the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, though you think you do, though you may speak in a language that I don't understand, and there's a lot of languages that I don't understand, for the most part, French, German, but because I don't understand French, I don't think that everybody in France is saved and has the Holy Spirit. And because I don't speak German, I don't think that everybody in Germany has the Holy Spirit. Because I don't understand them, that doesn't mean that they have the Holy Spirit. That is absurd. Back to Matthew 25, 4, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. With verse 5, the bridegroom tarried, the grace of God. The grace of God right now is waiting for us. God is long-suffering, and he doesn't want anyone to perish. But he wants us all to repent and be saved. Isaiah 30, verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Are you waiting on the Lord today? Amen. 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 And if you stumbled and if you slipped up, if you've fallen down, get back up. Hurry up and do this, because we don't know when the Lord is coming. We don't know what day and hour. Isn't that what the scripture says? The bridegroom tarried. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The gospel must be obeyed the same way 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, when it was first given. It still needs to be that obeyed that same way right now. The doctrine that we must obey is still the same doctrine that was when it was first given. Now it's still the same doctrine that we must obey. It's not nothing different. I'll give you an example. Vitamins. You got vitamin A that is for a certain purpose, right? And vitamin A will always be for that certain purpose. Certain nutrients, vitamin B and C, C is for your immune system. Vitamin D, I think, and calcium is for your bones. You don't switch those around. It's always the same thing that's going to nourish the same part of the body. Just like spiritual nourishment, it's the same word of God that will nourish you the same way. It'll never change. You know why? Because God don't change. We may change. Yeah, and there's truth in that. Yeah, let God be true and everyone a liar, because we all change. But who will change God? God is unchangeable. And I'm glad for that, because he's a loving God. He's a merciful God. Yet he's a God of judgment. Back to 2 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, why? To usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants us all to come to repentance, and he loved us all the same in that he gave his only begotten son to die and be buried and rise again for us. And that's the grace of God. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10, 2 Peter verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. When is the Lord coming? We don't know. It may say at midnight at this a parable, but the truth is we do not know. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and its works that are therein shall be burned up. That day. If you're in sin and that day comes and you see Jesus coming, it's too late. It's too late for you. You slept, you slumbered, you allowed the thief to come and rob you of eternal life. What a shame. What a shame. Going back to Matthew 25, verse 6. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Again, the coming of the Lord is as a thief in the night. We don't know what day or hour, so we must be ready. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, of course we know that he was buried. Of course we know that there's a significance in the burial of Christ. If baptism is not necessary, then why was Jesus buried? He could have died and just laid out on the ground for 3 days. He could have died and just hung on the cross for 3 days and rose again. Could he have? So why was he buried? And why do people consider, there are some people that do, they consider the burial insignificant. And that's a lie. You don't add or take away from that gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I got to tell you that. And then you can say, well, what about all the works that Christ did? The gospel is simply the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, everything that is written there that is not the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is to prove that he is the Christ. Because if you don't know that he's the Christ and you don't know what it means to be the Christ, then you cannot possibly obey that gospel. So everything written, the signs, the wonders, the miracles, the prophecy, is to prove that he is the Christ. Because the gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day according to scriptures. Back to Matthew. Chapter 25, verse 7. Then all those, well, I'll say 6 again. Matthew 25, verse 6. And at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Self-examination. Let us look at Lamentations. Lamentations 3:40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Search out your ways. See if you're really doing right. Do you know, as children, you know, at a young age, there are things that I thought were right. And then after a while, I found in the Bible that it was not so. Can you imagine? Fornication, for example. You know, don't tell me I'm wrong. Do you know, at a young age, kids are learning how to fornicate? At a young age, even before they learn the Bible. And do you know there are some that believe that fornication is okay? It's just a part of life. It's just a part of growing up. But don't you know in the Bible, did you know that in the Bible it's a sin? And what is fornication? Unmarital sex. Adultery included. And what is adultery? That's sex with a married person, one of the people are married. And you know what adultery is? That is breaking a covenant. Jesus said, "You wicked and adulterous generation, you'll see no sign but the sign of Jonas." We got to teach our children that fornication is a sin. Okay? Back to, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 through 32. "For if we would judge ourselves and teach others, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." So I lived in sin. I lived in sin, and then something happened. I got a kick in the tail. I got a whomping and a stomping from God, and it hurt. It hurt. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Lord. To where, as I repented, I wish I never would have done such a thing. I hated it. But I thank God that he chastened me. Because now I am a Christian. Now I am in Christ. If I continue in Christ. And so you be like. Because I'd like to see every one of your faces in heaven with me. If I make it myself. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 11, 31 and 32 again. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Are you carnal? Are you a friend of this world? Well, friends with this world is enmity with God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Let's start living holy and spiritual lives. Anybody that preaches a sermon, the gospel should be in each sermon that you preach. But there's something also. There should be a call to holiness. Also, a call to the love of God. If somebody's preaching every week, though they preach the gospel every week, but they are not preaching you and teaching you to live a holy life, then there's something wrong. You gotta live holy. You gotta live holy. You know why? Because I gotta live holy. You know why? Because the word of God says so. Amen. And we believe the word of God, don't we, Christians? Amen. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. Again, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves." How do you do it? By the word of God. I'm like, okay, am I doing this? Is this right? And then have you ever thought you were doing something right and then find out that something is wrong in the word of God? I'll give you an example. It says, "Speak evil of no man." I can't bear that. I love speaking evil of other people. But I hate being spoken evil of. So I try not to do that. Even when the person speaks something evil against me, even when they do something so stupid, I'm like, oh, what an idiot. Well, God help me, because I've been an idiot many times before and much more than they. What an idiot have I been? What am I doing up here? If you knew everything I did, oh boy, I wouldn't even come up here. I'd be so ashamed. But I'm here. Hallelujah. I am a Christian. We like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, nearest you, or call us at 214-821-2123. Or you can visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for downloads of great singing and a cappella singing and great sermons, if I may preach one time to time. Back to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians again, 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you? Except you be reprobates. Guess what, guys? You've obeyed the gospel. You got the Holy Spirit. Jesus is in you. So all that sin you're doing, Jesus has seen it. You know, these things that are done in darkness will be brought to the light one way or another. You know what I do? I bring it to the light myself. So if I sin, I bring it to Jesus. Lord Jesus, I've done a terrible thing. Please forgive me, dear God, and have mercy on me. I would rather bring it to the light than have it brought to the light and I'm in sin and I'm still in it. So the call to holiness, people. Galatians 6:4. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. So, before, and this may be a little out of context, but I'm going to chase it a little bit. Before you take that mote out of your own eye, Before you take the beam out of someone else's eye, beam or mote, before you judge somebody and tell them you're doing wrong, well, aren't you doing the same thing wrong? First, work on yourselves. First, practice being holy. Then your preaching will be better, won't it? I mean, I'm telling you, I'm practicing. I'm trying. You think it's an easy thing? If you've been doing it long enough, it should be easier, right? If I've been living holy for 20 years, it should be easier. Some things should be easier. Okay? Back to the Word of God. Galatians 6:4 again. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. 1 John 2:28. A lot of scriptures. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. It's worse than just being ashamed. When he comes and you're in sin, the state that you're in when he comes is whether you're going to receive glory or eternal damnation. Go back to Matthew 25, verse 8. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Gone out or going out. Just about to go out. Okay? They should have known. They should have been ready. There's no excuse. I'm giving you by the word of God the call to holiness. The call to holiness. Romans chapter 12. I beseech ye by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. We must live holy lives. Verse 9, Matthew 25, 9. But the wise answered, saying, not so. Lest there be not enough for you and us, for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. What are they saying? Go and buy for yourselves? Doesn't that seem a bit cruel? What it's telling me is that once it's too late, it's too late. What it's telling me is that, have you ever heard the prayer for the dead? I don't know which religion does that, but they say, oh, you give us so much money, we'll pray for your dead, that they can be saved. Well, you know what? No such thing. It's too late. You can't give your oil to those that are dead. It's too late. And whose oil is it? The Holy Spirit? We can't pray for the dead to save them. Even for those that are in sin, we can't pray that God forgive them. Yeah, we can. But they must repent themselves. So we could pray for them. That God intervene. Cause them to repent, yes. Verse 9 again, Matthew 25, 9. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Usually Jewish weddings were held at night. Sad if they shared, there would not be enough oil to light the way, and all the lamps would go out before they reached the bridegroom's house. Matthew 25 and 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Have you ever heard of the bride of Christ? The bride of Christ. If we are the bride of Christ, then we should be prepared for the marriage when Jesus comes. Yeah. Verse 11. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. You see that, Lord, Lord? You remember Matthew 7, where it says, many will not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, this is 7:13, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. If you're going to say, Lord, Lord, do the will of God. And Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Let's go to Numbers chapter 16, starting with verse 28 to 33. This is Kori. Have anybody heard of Kori? I'm going to read it to you. And Moses said, hereby shall ye know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them in mine own mind, of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up. We know the story. You had the house of Kori that they were saying, you put too much on yourself, and we're priests too, and we should be equal with you, and God hears us too. To the point where they were rebelling Moses. So here's what happened, verse 30 again. But the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertaineth unto them, and they go down quick into the pit. Then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Verse 31, and we are in number 16. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertaineth unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Now, in Psalm 88, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. But in Psalm 88, the psalm is to the sons of Kori. And I'm going to drop down to verse 10, Psalms 88, verse 10. This is David. And it's almost like he is speaking. It's almost like Kori and those that went down into the pit are speaking themselves. Psalms 88:10. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Selah. Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave? Or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy loving and thy righteousness in the land of the of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terror has cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. Now, this thing you can read for yourselves, but do you think that person that is saying this has a chance? Do you think that Corey, after he's gone into the pit, he still has a chance to make it to heaven? No, I don't think so. Not according to Psalms 88. They were rebellious, they weren't prepared, and they died. And they're dead, and it's too late for them. Man. Going back to Matthew chapter 25, verse 12. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. The wise, the foolish virgins. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, verse 13, Matthew 25, 13. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Okay. The parable of the 10 virgins. Okay. This is plainly a parable of the second coming of Christ and of judgment. We're going to break it down a little bit. All these things that I've just spoken, we're going to talk about the analogies in this parable. Analogies in the parable. What represents what? The kingdom of heaven. That represents the church. Is Jesus your Lord now? Or will he be your Lord 1,000 years from now? If Jesus is our Lord now, we as Christians, then we must know that Christ is ruling right now. The bridegroom. Who is the bridegroom? Well, that's Christ. That's a simple one. The midnight arrival. What does that represent? That represents the second coming of Christ, the parousia. Now it says here midnight, but we don't know the time. The virgins, what do they represent? The church members. Look, there's going to be church members. They call themselves church members, come to church every week, every other week. Go out there, living a life of sin. Not everybody sitting in this room, not everybody that sits in the church is going to make it to heaven. But those that do the will of the Father in heaven. The foolish virgins are the unprepared. Of the church members, they have fallen. They have let their light. They have quenched the Holy Spirit. They have put out the Holy Spirit. The foolish virgins are the unprepared. The lamps. Well, the lamp could be faith. The lamp could be the good works. The oil. What do you think the oil represents? Well, the Holy Spirit, no doubt. The sleep of the virgins when they slept. That's the sleep of death. That means that if you didn't live the good life and you died, it's too late. It is too late. Now, if you died having the Holy Spirit, then you will be resurrected with that Holy Spirit. The tarrying of the bridegroom. That is the delay of the second coming. That is the grace that God waited for us. The midnight cry, that's the call to judgment. The refusal to give oil. Listen to this. The merit is not transferable. I can't give you the Holy Spirit. God does that. And if you didn't get it from God, you ain't going to get it from me. So I can say, well, go ahead, go to them that sell. Can you imagine? You live a sinful life and you think you're going to make it. You think you're going to straddle the fence. And then the Lord comes and you see it. You hear that shout. And you say, what in the world is that? And then you see Jesus coming with his angels. It says, oh boy, it's time to repent now. Guess what? It's too late. It's too late. Why? Because you don't have the Holy Spirit. It's too late. How do we become Christians? We do it by obeying the gospel. Can you obey the gospel and not know what the gospel is? How do we become Christians? By obeying the gospel. How can you say you've obeyed the gospel and you can't tell me what the gospel is? And that happens all the time. Not only that, but there are people that are baptized. They've been baptized before they even know what the gospel is. Do you know that is a work of the devil? Do you know that is a trick of the enemy? Because I'll tell you this, almost half the people that I tried to win to Christ that did not know the gospel, because they say they've been baptized already, they won't obey it. In order for you to make it to heaven, you got to have the Holy Spirit. In order for you to be resurrected into life, you got to have the Holy Spirit. Not just think that you do. Not just be convinced, but you got to know by the Word of God. If I thought I had the Holy Spirit, shouldn't I have the proof of it by the Word of God? So let me prove to you that by obeying the gospel, you receive the Holy Spirit. And what is the gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. If any of you are a Christian, I urge you to memorize that. Because that's what you need to win souls to Christ. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received. How do you receive the gospel? By obeying it. And wherein you stand. By which also you are saved. Yes, it saves you. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. So what does that mean? That means that after you obey the gospel and you don't remember it and you die, unless you believed in vain. I mean, it's self-explanatory. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I've also received. The Apostle Paul obeyed it himself. How that Christ, remember, if you don't know what it means to be Christ, the Son of God, if you don't know who God is, you can't obey the gospel. That's why Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote all those things that they wrote. Even in the beginning of Mark, it says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And did I say that right? Because that's something new. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If you don't know that he is the Christ, if you don't know what it means to be the Christ, then how can you obey the gospel? For I delivered unto you first of all that which I've also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. What did he do? Died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Okay, if the gospel is death, burial, and resurrection, how does one obey death, burial, and resurrection? You know, some people, they say, oh, you got to accept Jesus. Here's the way I did it. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my personal Lord and Savior. Wait a minute. That doesn't sound bad, does it? But what is the way God told you to do it? How many gospels are there? One. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are four different accounts of one gospel. It wasn't four different Jesuses that died four different places and was buried in four different graves and rose again in four different times. No. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is four accounts of that same Jesus that died, was buried, and rose again. So if the gospel is death, burial, resurrection, how do you obey death, burial, and resurrection? There has to be a death, a burial, resurrection in your life. Real simple. Death to sin, you got to repent of your sins. Burial, you got to be baptized. Resurrection, you receive the Holy Ghost. And you got to walk in the Spirit. You got to exercise. You got to stir up the gift. If any of you are not a Christian, you can become one right now. We have the water ready. You can come up. If you are in need of prayer, if you have any prayer requests on other people's behalf, we have cards, response cards that you can fill out, and you can fill them out and bring them up. Why don't you do that right now? Why don't you do that right now before it's everlasting too late? Why don't you do that right now as we stand and sing our invitational song?